Good evening. Let me see if technology is working. Yes. This is an Irishman being hugged by the English. And when I return back to this church, that's how I feel, Paul. I feel that the English are hugging me again. This is our sending church, and this has got nothing to do with what I'm going to say. So, eyes here, please. It is genuinely good to be back. We are your missionaries sent out by you for the first time 20 years ago, and we've been members of the church for 25 years. We're really bad members. We don't come to church very often. So we're bad church members. We're hopefully better church mission partners because you send us away. So thank you for the invitation. God was good. God gave us a window in the weather. We came from Copenhagen and we arrived in, no problem, and then we got snowed in. And our daughter, Jem, and husband, Ollie, they're doing a life swap. They are in Copenhagen. So they got maybe the better deal. Or no, wait, we actually got the better deal. We got their house and for free, three extra grand things. So we've enjoyed being with the kids. We have been reminded that, sheesh, they're hard work. Usually we say our heart is full, but this weekend our heart and our hands have been full. So that's been lovely. It's been good to be back. And thank you officially, Nick and Chris, for the invitation to be here for Missions Sunday. Let's start with a question. What is your opinion? No, let's start with a prayer. I could see you had that look about you. Yeah. Lord, thank you for your word. It's alive and active. May you challenge us, warm our hearts, make us different because of it. Amen. Oh, it's always good to keep Mr. Luckwell on your side. Yes. So, Mr. Luckwell, what is your opinion about missionaries? Yes. You think they're great. There are many missionary biographies in the Bible. Many. Which is your favorite? Many stories of mission men and women in Scripture. Who stands out for you? Barnabas. Who else? Paul. Yeah. Jesus. If in doubt, say Jesus. Always the right answer. Thank you. The ultimate missionary. He came incarnate. I mean, talk about a cross-cultural gig. Talk about a cross-cultural incarnation. That was the ultimate. Yeah. So extra rewards for that one, yes. When I was reading recently through the New Testament, there's one missionary that stands out as kind of the poster boy of missions, of young missionaries, and it's Timothy. He gets it all right. He had a great missionary career. Ended up being a pastor of a church in Ephesus. Had books written to him. Was on some of the journeys with Paul. Did great things. But there's another guy. He's mentioned in the passages that we read. A guy called John Mark. And he is, certainly in the scriptures that we read today, he is not the poster boy. If you were a missionary society, you wouldn't put him on your poster because he's a bit of a disappointment. It didn't work out for John Mark. So we're going to track what happened with him as to what went wrong with a missionary. What do you know about John Mark? I dare you to whisper to your neighbor one thing you know about John Mark. Do that right now. One thing about John Mark. What do you know about him? Anything. And it can't be he had a cool name. What do you know about John Mark? anything stand out? Yes. He kind of got on the wrong side of Paul. He did upset Paul, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, if you do a little bit of digging, not now, but on your own time, he was a big city boy. He was a Jerusalem boy. And he was very well connected. If you read at other times, Acts 12, you find out that his mother, Mary, not the Mary of Jesus, the mother of Jesus, but another Mary, he was the son of Mary, and he was kind of in HQ, Jerusalem. So he knew the disciples. He knew Jesus, up close and personal. There's also, we think, that he perhaps was the first streaker in the Bible. In Mark's gospel, I wonder why it's called Mark. I wonder who wrote Mark's gospel. John Mark. There's an interesting story at the arrest of Jesus in Mark's gospel that this young man got too close and they almost caught him. And they got his robe and he ran in fear of his life naked, leaving the robe behind. That perhaps was John Mark. So we get little glimpses of this guy. But what I want to say is John Mark had a privileged upbringing. He was a church kid. He grew up in the church. He didn't just see great men like Nick DeVos. He saw the disciples. He knew Paul. He hung out with the greats. This is the John Mark that we've read about. He was associated. He was cool by association because he hung out with the greats, the apostles. So let's get rid of that one. Is this on? Yes. Okay, Irish remote control. Doot. So we're going to look at this, the lost missionary. That's my theme. And we're thinking about John Mark. And we're going to look at the passage that was read. Next one, please. This is the first passage. And what do you notice about this? The great story here is the church in Antioch, which is modern-day Syria, sets aside how many people? Two. They set them aside. So they get to these two guys and said, we've been praying, and we think you should go. And they get these two guys, and they send them off on mission. It's very exciting. It's the first mission sending from a Gentile church. And they're sent to Europe. If Cyprus is Europe, they're sent to Europe. Who joins them? Who appears as if by magic? John Mark. And he goes along for the ride. He's part of the team. Now, what is beautiful here is this sets the pattern for the church to send missionaries out. Nick and the missions committee, they are doing a fabulous job at sending and also keeping good tabs on those that they've sent. It's one thing to send, it's another thing to keep a link. So I want to publicly honor Nick and the missions committee and the leadership of this church for their VUMA for world missions, for their energy and their money and the focus that they have on it. So I want to honor them for that. You're following on the New Testament tradition of sending young, fast-moving things out, like Lynn and not so young as me. However, meanwhile back, the side story here is that somewhere in this mission trip from Cyprus to modern-day Turkey, what does John Mark do? He goes home. He doesn't leave. He goes home. He said, I have enough. I'm going home. Next slide. Here's a question for you. Why did he leave the team? His first mission trip. Why did he leave the team? Any ideas? He could have been homesick. Maybe he didn't like Paul. We're not too sure. No reason is given, but he left the team. This happens today in missions. People join, people go, and it doesn't always work out. You guys, or most of you guys, are either millennial or, what's the term, Chris? Retired or beyond. So we've got the millennials and we've got the beyonds. Now, sometimes people give the millennials a hard time. You know, you don't want to commit. Tim, you said today you don't want to take responsibility, not you personally, but the gender. Yes. I remember sitting in the living room of my mother and father-in-law 31 years ago actually, when we were about to leave to Malawi for the first time, our first missionary assignment. And we were sitting in the presence of greatness. We were sitting in the presence of these two old Irish brethren missionaries who went to Africa on a boat. They got on a boat and got a one-way ticket. So they were asking us, we're young things, and they said, how long are you going to go and be in Malawi? And we said, we're going to take at least 3 years initially, and then we'll keep it open. And they went, oh, short term then. So maybe John Mark was just part of the short-term brigade. You know, I'll give it a few weeks. I didn't think you guys would continue going. Not for this length of time. I've punched in my time. I want to go home. But here is my theory. This sums up missions. It actually sums up life. But I think it sums up missions. I think John Mark maybe had a certain expectation. Like when I went to Copenhagen 18 months ago, I had a certain expectation. But you know what happens to that straight line? It squiggles. It's called life. Expectations and reality are often different. And I think sometimes in missions, I see this happen too often. The zest and the energy goes because, John, you have no idea what it's like to work with this guy. John, I wanted to soar on the wings of eagles, but I'm working with turkeys. You have no idea. Well, that's reality. That's the squiggly line. You all have it, I have it. I have it in missions. And I think John Mark, maybe for the first time, hit that. He had great expectations, but Paul, you know, he's not actually what I thought he was. And Barnabas is kind of way on my side, but I just want to go home. I could tell you for a long time what the squiggles are in my life in Copenhagen. And I have to say, report this back to Ruth. Ruth is not one of the squiggles. Please tell your mother that. Ruth is not one of the squiggles. But complications and disappointments and challenges and people disappointing you and people frustrating you and you being an idiot, these are all the squiggles. But you push on through. You've heard me say it before, let me say it again. What I'm learning, like never before, is to be agile. Feel forward. Keep pressing on. Try something, it doesn't work. Try it again. make better mistakes tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to do in mission. And maybe John Mark, maybe. I'm homesick. I've had enough. I only signed up for 3 weeks, but this has gone on for 3 months. I'm out of here. We don't know. Either way, he exits stage right. He's off the team. Now, someone once said, and it's true, what's the best way to interpret Scripture? Let Scripture interpret Scripture. So, Acts 15, the other passage that we read. What's the word that jumps out? It's in bold, just to give you a clue. What's the word? Deserted. Ooh, ugly word. It's a bit harsh. Let me try to recreate this. Nick, can you be Barnabas, please? Paul Coley, you look like a Paul. Sorry, name blank. Matt, come down here. So here you have it. Two well-seasoned...
old people.
No, and beyond. So, Acts 15, a conversation is had where the two senior partners in the team get to talk about the young guy. He doesn't have a say in it, but what happens here is, which one's Barnabas?
Me.
You're Barnabas, yeah. He's the nice guy. So it's like in the story, it's like good cop, bad cop. And I'm just curious, was John Mark part of the, did he hear it personally or did he hear it after the event? Either way, these guys debate about missionary journey number two. Let's go back to the same place. He's good, isn't he? Yes. And Barnabas says, Paul says, great plan. Who do we go with? And of course, Barnabas says, the young man. Paul of which says, not in my watch. What does Paul say?
Crackers.
Yeah. Paul says, this young man deserted us. So why should we give him a second chance? Why should we take him on the team? And I'm just curious, how did John Mark feel that he sees two heroes of the faith fall out? They have a sharp disagreement. And what happens? Okay, boys, I'll come between you. Yeah. He is, isn't he? Yes. And what happens, according to the story? Barnabas with John Mark goes where? Why Cyprus?
Nice beaches.
Barnabas came from Cyprus. He was going home. And they go off. They go to the west. It's almost like Tolkien-like. They get on a ship and they go to the west. And we don't hear much. The book of Acts no longer tracks their story. They're left. And the story focuses on Paul, who goes on another journey. Thank you for volunteering, guys. Thank you. You acted really well. Yes. Who was right? Who was wrong? I think that's a question for the theologians. But can I tell you what came out of this? One team became two. One mission team became two mission teams. The process was ugly. The HR processes were really bad. But the outcome, God used. And he does that to this day. Even in missions, the HR processes sometimes fail us. But the outcome, God uses. So, this is the word that Paul uses It's a harsh word. I have never been in the army. I have brothers who were. But this is a military term. And Paul says about the young man, Matt, the young man, he deserted us. He did not continue in the work. And that was enough reason for Paul to go, you're off the team. I will not take you. Very harsh. Did Paul give up on John Mark? Do some further reading this week. Track what happens later to the relationship of Paul and John Mark. It's beautiful. There is a happy ending. I will not tell you what it is. You can dig it yourself. So, this is a harsh word. And in the world of missions today, you have to have HR processes. We saw a team in Acts 15. There wasn't many protocols about can we have some conflict resolution? There wasn't any HR process. Can we maybe help John Mark get back onto the team? He just was cut. My wife, Ruth, she is the brains and the beauty in this outfit. Ruth, apart from living in Denmark, is responsible for leadership development and HR for the mission of Agape in Europe. So, Mr. Uwe, please stand up. So, there are approximately 900 plus cool, difficult people like Alan Uwe around Europe. So, Ruth has the ultimate responsibility to make sure that there are proper HR processes to look after Mr. Uwe, as difficult as he is. So that's one of the other things that Ruth does. Okay, next question. Sorry, next picture. This is a glorious picture of young Danish guys and girls in deepest, darkest Copenhagen. And I show you this picture because my role when working with these students, I am a Barnabas. I am a Barnabas that wants to work with John Mark's and with Paul's. I want to work with both. What do I mean? There are some of these guys who are straight out of the blocks, good to go, fast and furious. They're the Sauls. But most of them are like John Mark's. They stumble out of the blocks. It's fits and starts. It's not all glory. In fact, over ministry around the world, in Africa and in various parts of Europe, I've made a small calculation. I have a 50% success rate. I have a 50%, oh yes, that worked out. So that infers I have a 50%, oops, well, that didn't work out. So I don't want to put it in success and fail rate, but I want to bring reality to this. I don't want you to think that everything a missionary touches and does, glory, fruit. So this picture tells a story, but it doesn't tell the other half of the story of there's a bunch of other Vikings that didn't come through, that didn't step up to leadership, that doesn't have the vision. So I show you this picture to let you know that the Sauls are few and far between. The John Marks are the norm. I am a John Mark. I stumble. And I've been blessed to have Barnabas in my life to pick me up, dust me off, and get going again. So this is the role that I play, one of the roles I play. I see myself as a Barnabas because I'm getting older. And I've even got a beard. And I love to challenge young men, especially, to follow Jesus and to go after the mission. That's what I do. That's what gives me the greatest joy. I'm going to try and show a video. No, forget it. I have confidence because I think Jill has worked her magic. I want to show you a video a clip of some of the cool things that these young student leaders have just done about 2 weeks ago. So let's hit play. Oh, well. Didn't work. This could be the longest 2-minute video in the world. Nah, chill. Finishing the cathedral. This was a student conference that we had 2 weeks ago called The Bridge. We're trying to build bridges across churches, and we concluded our time in the cathedral. Beautiful, beautiful building. But this was a vision, and this was driven by students. It's very special. So God is at work with John Marks and with Saul's. And the music's also pretty good. So, here's a question. How did God recycle John Mark? Have you ever thought about that? On Acts 15, John Mark is kind of way finished. He slides off with Barnabas, and there's not much talk about him, although he does appear 2 or 3 times later in the New Testament. But that's a question just to muse on. God recycled him. God rebuilt him. And God got him back to service. And it's an interesting study to think about, what did God do in his life? What does God do in our lives to get us going again? I have been recycled multiple times. Healed me, restored me, got me back again. So do not be afraid of failure. Do not be afraid of stumbling, because God is very good at recycling us when we let him. And God recycled John Mark. I'm going to show you a scary picture. Thank you. This is our first missionary picture years ago. See, you're laughing. And we very soon after this, Lynn wasn't even thought of at this point. That's with our firstborn, Amy. And we went off to Malawi, and we got we got a little bit sick when we arrived there. I think within the first 1 or 2 weeks, I got malaria, dysentery, and hepatitis. So I was a little bit poorly, and I felt like John Mark. I wanted to go home. And in my illness, the only thing that kept me going was, how could I get home? I wanted to give up. I had good reason to, perhaps. And I was thinking all these crazy thoughts. God inspired me that one day I would write my missionary memoirs. It was going to be called Diarrhea for Jesus. I was so sick. I didn't know what to do. I was like gone, poorly, sick. And I just wanted to get out and get home. But God healed me. But also God did a work in my heart. And those hard few weeks, those hard few months passed. And even despite that, I grew to love the continent of Africa. Like I tell people, Africa, dangerous place to go. It gets into your blood, literally and metaphorically. That was a time when I wanted to desert my post. There have been other times also in my missionary career where I've wanted to leave. There was once things were so bad, not in my health, but just with my heart, I actually wrote a resignation letter. On a Friday afternoon, I'd had enough, and I wrote the resignation letter, and my wife, clever woman, said, let it just sit on your desk over the weekend. And then on Monday, if you still think that's the case, post it. Yes, it was a long time ago. It was pre-internet. And sure enough, on Monday morning, I didn't post the letter. So I've had many moments as a missionary where I wanted to desert my post. And God has stepped in, blessed me, recycled me, got me going again. So I resonate with John Mark. Let me conclude with this. Beautiful, beautiful. When I am unfaithful, God is not. And God calls me to be faithful to Jesus and faithful to the mission. Even when I'm not faithful completely to Jesus and I'm not faithful to the mission, God stays true. That's the thing I want you to get tonight from John Mark. God stays faithful. Even when we stumble, even when we give up, God stays true. That is good, eh? Will I pray or would you like to pray? Will I pray? Sure? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. You are our rock. We stand on you. Thank you for Scripture, for the good, the bad, and the ugly of it, how you record everything, even disputes and fights between heroes of the faith, apostles and missionaries. Thank you, Lord, that does not make it okay for us to do it, but thank you, Lord, it makes it human. Help us, for those that go and those that send, to be committed to the mission. And Lord, thank you. You're the Lord of the mission. You love us. You heal us. You recycle us. And you send us out again. Lord, thank you. We are never on the scrap heap with you. Lord, let us give you room to work in our heart, to rebuild us, give us a new vision, new zest, to serve you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, John. At the heart of all mission is the love of God the Father, which we're shortly going to be celebrating as we share the Lord's Supper. And so we sing, How Deep the Father's love for us.